God bless you all. Thank you for coming. Thank you for attending on this beautiful Kodiak day. It's not raining, and that's a praise report for Kodiak. If you're here visiting us, I want to take an opportunity this time to give a special mention to an original pastor, I believe, of the Assemblies of God, Pastor Tom Simmons. Would you please stand, Pastor, so we can recognize you? And your family, I believe, is with you. Thank you. Thank you for gracing us this Sunday morning. I showed him around a little bit. We walk around, and he asked me if he can have his office back. And, showed him around, all the different things that were done. So, yeah, you're welcome to have. I'll put a chair right by me there. We can share a desk. Not a problem. So God bless you all. Thank you for being here. Today is also the last Sunday for Gray. Don't leave, Gray. See where you're going. Okay, why don't you come over here? And you too. Yeah, you. This is your last Sunday as well. Come on. Monica and Caleb. See, they always wonder, like, what are we going to do? Well, let's, where's the mic? Let me have that. Thought maybe you might want to say something, Gracie. Gracie, where are you going?
Fairbanks, Alaska.
Okay, what are you going to be doing out there?
I'm going to be studying. I'm going to be finishing my internship for social work up there.
Awesome. Awesome. How long you been here in this church?
Oh, no.
Don't know. She was born here, born in this church.
Yeah, since I was like 9.
9 years old. And she's only
23.
All right. What about you guys?
Where we're going?
Yeah, where are you guys going?
Corpus Christi.
And you being stationed?
Yep, we're going to Corpus Christi, Texas. We're at the Coast Guard. We're starting a new journey. Just got married last week.
And yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Last 2 weeks. You counted. So I want you guys to stretch your hands, and we're going to pray for them and send them on with our blessing. And many of our other coasties have already left. New ones have come in and still already found, made Oceans United their home. And let's pray for them. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that you've gone ahead already, that you prepared the way for them, Lord God. Let their step be ordered by you, Lord God. Provide every need that they have, and let them hear your voice clearly as you lead them forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. After service, see if you can talk to them a little bit, give them a hug. And whatever you feel like God is telling you to tell them, something encouraging, send them on their way. All right, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Hallelujah. We're going to start and end with verse 17. For those of us who are, it's kind of a little hot this morning. Could you maybe open those two? I should have done that last week, by the way. I was wearing a jacket, and right up, I wasn't really thinking, and it was like 90 degrees. So for those of you who are just now joining us, we are at the end of this series called God's Top 10. We went over the 10 commandments, and today's number 10. We're wrapping up the whole series, and if you've missed it and you've missed any part of it, you can watch it online. You can go back to our app. If you got our church app, you can download the app and you can follow along in the service with the notes and everything else in on there, and even take your personal notes directly on the app. And And you can listen to the message on the website and many other ways. So you can't say you don't hear the word of God, okay? You can't say you're not being fed. It's there. Just readily accessible to anyone who would love to be able to listen to me while you're on the treadmill. I hear a lot of people that, you know, they're listening and they're working out, they're at the gym, and that's perfect time to be able to listen to the word of God. All right? So, how many of you have enjoyed that series as much as I have? It's been amazing for me. I've learned stuff that I never knew was there. You know, we read the Ten Commandments. We've done that. We've read it. We've memorized the Ten Commandments. But I believe we've taken it a step a little bit further. We've discovered probably principles behind those Ten Commandments that we've never thought were there. But really, they were there the whole time, right? So I love the feedback that I get at Walmart when people stop me and tell me what the number, you know, that they were studying. And Angelo every week would actually tell me, Pastor, we're on number 10. And this is what it's going to be. And he's ever so excited about it. Lots of feedback, positive, mostly positive. I didn't really get a single negative one. But some of them were very revealing. And speaking of revealing, I've got a good one for you. How many of you were here when I did number 8, the 8th commandment? I mean more than 2. Come on. There's been more than 2 people that were here. All right. Do not steal, right? Do not steal. Well, apparently, I might be wrong, but apparently, someone from our church, an individual from our church, right after service on that Sunday, I believe it was July 25th, right after that service, after the 8th commandment, went and filled up gas. Went and filled up gas in town. And then took off without paying. I mean, his picture was all over social media and all over town. I don't know if you would recognize this guy right there, but if you do, please call me. But in all honesty, you know, I'm here to clear his name this morning, okay? I'm here to clear his name. His name is Jeremiah Eugene Olson. Daniel. Wrong guy. See, this is where we throw the wrong people in jail all the time. We get the wrong name. His middle name is not Eugene, but Daniel. I don't know where I came up with Eugene. I think it's Kyla's fault. You're the one that told me that last night. It's his fault. He lied. That's number 9, isn't it? Come on. I thought you guys were really getting something out of these messages, but apparently we're breaking them as we go along. So anyway, I'm here to clear up his name. He did go back and pay for the gas. He tried the card reader like everyone would actually do, and it did not work. So he waved at the guy to turn on the pump manually. So the pump was turned on, fill up gas, and he thought he already paid for it, and he took off. So he went back. He paid for it. So you're good there, Jeremiah. But the timing was bad. It was such a bad timing right after number 8, you know. So anyway. So before this morning we jump to number 10, I just want to do a general recap about the Ten Commandment. They were given to man not as a list of don'ts or thou shall nots, but as principles. As principles to be used as building blocks that we can use to build the family unit. Building blocks that we can use to develop society, to build society. And building blocks that we can use eventually that were given to us to build civilization as we know it today. Without the Ten Commandments in place, we'll have a pretty bad civilization. Right? It's pretty bad as it is right now. But without that, as principles, as foundations, as building blocks, we would be in a bigger mess than what we are already in right now. The basis of those principles is one thing: authority. They were all based on God's authority and all delegated authority that were passed on, delegated from God to social authority, civil authority, and even church authority. And no wonder those Ten Commandments have been a point, a source of contention for 3,000 some years. Because by nature, our all sinful nature rebels against authority. And it starts with God's authority, and then any other authority that comes from God. The sinful nature of man is at contention with any kind of authority. So before Moses gave those Ten Commandments to the people, he made sure that everyone was clear that those Ten Commandments did not come from him, but they came from God. So he started in Exodus 20 verse 1 by saying, "And God spoke all these words, saying," then all the other ones that come, number 1, number 2, number 3, all the way to number 10. And here, number 10 in verse 17, it says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is in your neighbor's possessions," that belongs to your neighbors. The word covet is not something that we use very often. I talked to my kids and I was mentioning the word. They had no idea what it meant. So I explained, and these are the words that I use. I said, to be consumed with desire for something that does not belong to you. And the response that I got was like, that's not very good. I'm like, yeah, that's the reason why God gave it to us. No, so that you don't have any of those lust or lustful desires for something or even someone that does not belong to you. So that's the reason. That's a basic principle. Now, this commandment is truly counterculture. Very counterculture. I mean, I think it was counterculture even in Moses' time. Even from the rock tablets. Now, if you kind of think a little bit, they were given rock tablets, and today we deal with Apple tablets. So from the rock to the apple, it was still the same. We're still struggling with that concept of wanting something that don't belong to us. In fact, there are commercials that are out there, marketing that are designed to make you covet. And here's one of them. We might need to rewind it a little bit.
Your new brother-in-law. You like him. He's one of those guys who always smells good. His 5 o'clock shadow is always at 5 o'clock. You like him. Your mom says he's done really well for himself. He has stocks and bonds. Your dad wants to go fishing with him. Your dad doesn't even like fishing. You like your brother-in-law, but you'd like him better if you made more money than he does. Don't get mad at your brother-in-law. Get E-Trade.
As you can see, Even commercials are out there to steer you in such a way so that you would be envious of somebody's success. You will covet what your brother-in-law has. You don't like him very much, or maybe you do like him, but you want to make more money than he does. He drives a Lexus, you want to drive a Bentley. You want to be one up on him. So that is the culture. So the word, the command that we got from God is not to covet, is truly counterculture. In fact, social media has created an entirely brand new culture that is based on coveting. The whole social media, the whole marketing design has been created for you to love what your neighbor has. All a company has to do nowadays is to pay someone who has a lot of followers. You guys know what I'm saying? You follow? Someone who has a lot of followers on social media, they will pay them a lot of money to wear or to boost a product or a service that they want you to be influenced by. They are called influencers. Influencers. They get paid a lot of money. And I've got some example to show you. For example, if you want a post from Dwayne The Rock Johnson, it'll cost you $650,000 a pop. Just a simple post. For Cristiano Ronaldo, everybody knows Cristiano Ronaldo in this place? Absolutely, everybody knows Cristiano Ronaldo. $750,000 a pop. Next one, Selena Gomez, $800,000. Isn't that crazy? And we got one more. Priceless. Priceless. If anybody wants to do any kind of post, talk to Jeremiah Olsen right afterwards. The world has accepted coveting as a way of life. As a way of life instead of the sin that starts right here. It's become so norm as part of our everyday life that we've accepted the competition. We've accepted the comparison that we place us versus somebody else. What is somebody else doing, and can I do better? It's created that culture where he has already put us against the 10th commandment. So what do we do as older people like myself to train the younger generation? Because they are being exposed to a new level that you and I, we've never been exposed to before. How many of you grew up and knew what an influencer was? I didn't know what a new... of course you're a millennial. You would know. I did not know what that meant. I had to look it up. I had to look up all these stats and figure out how much these things would cost. I didn't even know these people existed. But our kids, they know. How do we tell them, how do we influence them in the right way so that they default, their mind is defaulted to the Word of God versus what somebody else is feeding them? Now, this is the trick. This is what we need to learn, and this is probably why we need to talk about it in the church, because this is where the family concept would actually start, correct? Starts here, starts at home. And then we build from it. And then we influence society. We influence our nation. We influence the civilization. So the whole concept when God gave us the Ten Commandments 3,000 years ago was very well thought of. God was playing the long game because he knew that 2021 would be around the corner when somebody would actually pay $1 million just to get a post. I mean, there are many others that were, I was looking at the numbers. I mean, you can go on and on and on and on and see. I mean, they were in the millions to get just a post out there. I mean, this is crazy. But this is the type of world that you and I, we are living in. So we cannot just hide under a rock and pretend that it's not there, because guess what? Them kids, they are not hiding under a rock. They know more than you and I put together. So we have to be alert. We have to be wise. And we certainly need to know the Word of God, so that we can establish that authority that God wanted us to have or to receive that came from Him, so that we can teach that to our kids, so that they don't rebel against authority of any kind, because we know, we've seen in 2020 how that rebellion against authority, we've seen this in many states all around the U.S. In many states, they're even calling out for total police defunding. And you wonder, where is that coming from? If it is not a spirit that is against any kind of authority that is established, given to man by God Himself, so that way we can have a civilized society. Take one layer out of the 10, take your pick, and the whole thing crumbles. What's unique about number 10 is that it deals here. All the others deal with an action. But the Ten Commandments deal something a little bit deeper. The inner person. The heart. Why do people steal? Why do people murder? Why do people commit adultery? It all leads back to the heart. It all leads back to the heart. When someone desires or lusts for something that does not belong to him. This desire in James 1:15 makes it very clear. He says, these desires, we're talking about those evil desires to desire something that does not belong to you. He says, these desires give birth to sinful actions. See, you cannot just have those desires in your heart and you keep it there secretly. Nobody knows that they are there. Eventually, they would lead to action. It's like if you feed those desires, those lustful desires, secretly, when nobody knows that you have them in, you'll eventually give birth to a monster. You'll eventually give birth to something that is beyond your control. That's where the stealing happens. That's where the murder happens. That's where the adultery happens. Because secretly, these sin or these sinful desires, they were never dealt with. They were never under the blood of Jesus. So eventually they lead to action. James said, these sinful desires give birth to sinful action. When the sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Death, we're talking about a separation from God. When sin comes in and finds room, domain in your heart and in your life, it separates you from God. Now this is the whole intent. This is the whole intent of the enemy, is to put you in contention with God, so that you can be at odds with God, where you and God are no longer on speaking terms because your sin has driven you away from Him. The only one that can actually set you free. The only one that can give you abundant life. The only one that is looking out for you. But the enemy has a roundabout way to present these desires in such a way so that it lures you away from God's plan and God's purpose for your life. So James is very clear. He says, if you don't take care of these sinful desires, they would be allowed to grow. And they will eventually give birth to this monster that destroys your relationship with God. Now, I'm not saying that all desires are bad. That's not what I'm saying. Not all desires are bad. Otherwise, God would have said, thou shalt not desire. Right? God did not say that. Nothing wrong with desiring a new job, a better car, a better house. Nothing wrong with desiring a wife if you're single. Just don't desire somebody else's wife. I mean, here's how Jesus himself, he warns us about this covetousness. He said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, and he's addressing the disciples, and he's warning them. He's saying, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesses. God is not opposed to us having things. God is not opposed to us having new clothes, new shoes, whatever it might be that you want or you desire. God is not opposed to any of this. But what God doesn't want you to be in a position like this is to replace God by those things, where those things have taken God's place in your life. Whatever takes the place of God in your life will become an idol. And that's the warning. In Colossians 3:5, it says, don't be greedy. Don't be greedy. Don't covet. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. God is strongly opposed to anything that replaces him. Anything that replaces him is in contention with God. God is very serious because covetousness will ultimately cause you to resent God. It will cause you to resent him. You won't recognize God for his faithfulness anymore, because you're coveting something that God doesn't want you to have. It's not the right time. This thing that you want to have would eventually destroy you, and God is holding this thing back away from you. But in the moment when you're there and you're desiring this one thing, I want this now, Lord, I want this job, and this job becomes more important than anything else in your life, that's where you start going in the wrong path, when the enemy steps in and lures you away from your relationship with God. It would lead you to covet the position without the hard work and the sacrifice. It would lead you to covet the blessing without the years of obedience. It will cause you to covet the prize before the price, the testimony without the test, the victory without the struggle. All of these are there, part of our lives, for us to be able to seek God so that we need him. God will where you would be able to say, Lord, whatever you've asked me to do, it's impossible. But I know that I can do it because you are with me. God wants you to have such a relationship with Him that the things that you're desiring, He's put it there for you. But He knows that these things, that you will not be able to do it by yourself. You will need Him to reach those things. That's the heart. It's a complete heart change where you can't just pay Dwayne Johnson to do it for you. You can't pay Selena Gomez to actually do it for you. You need God to do it for you. You need His help. You need His anointing. You need His providence. You need His provision so that you can achieve what God wants you to achieve. So the victory comes with struggle. The prize comes with a price. The testimony comes with a test. Because if you resent God, you would always look at your brother-in-law. You would always look at your friend. How come he's being blessed? What about me, Lord? I was here the whole time. How about me? How about me? How about me? The more you get into this mindset, the more you're drawn away from God's blessing. The more you resent God, the more you're pushing away His blessing over your life. So what are the principles or building blocks from the 10th commandment? And that's where I want to land this morning. Principle number one is the principle of contentment. The principle of contentment. The word contentment comes from the root word content, which means happy or satisfied. As a matter of fact, the word content is a French word, which means, well, same thing, content, but on a different level. French is my first language, so I would say, je suis très content, which means I am really satisfied or happy. But it's on a different level where I am fully satisfied in the place where I am. See, contentment is not just an emotion. It's not just a feeling that you have that, oh, I'm just content. It's a place. It's a spiritual place where you know where God has placed you. The church can be a place of contentment. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. They shall bear fruit even in their old age. That is the place of contentment. Where you are planted in this place, it's not a place of contention. The enemy wants to make every place where God has called you to be a place of contention. Because he knows that if the place where God has planted you becomes a place of contention, he'll take you out. He'll take you out. He'll pull out every weed that is in the place. Because remember, the soil where God has planted you is never perfect. Just look around. Any perfect people here? And the church is made up of you and me. And none of us are perfect. So to be in a place of contentment has nothing to do with the people around you. In fact, the place of contentment might be around the place, in a place where everybody's at odds with one another. But yet again, you yourself know that you're meant to be here. You're meant to be in this workplace, no matter how tough it might be, no matter how cruel your boss might be. But you're in a place of contentment because it's not emotionally based. It's not based on your emotion. It's not based on your feeling. It's based on the Word of God, where God has planted you. This is where you need to be. That is the place of contentment. So the principle that God is teaching the children of Israel, way back, we're talking about 3,000 years ago. I mean, the people of Canaan, they were bad people. They were bad people, but yet, in this defiled society, that was the promised land. They were surrounded by bad people. People that would sacrifice their own children. But yet again, that was the promised land. How odd is that? The promise was, I'm going to lead you to a place that flows with milk and honey. Lord, where is the milk? Where is the honey? That didn't mean that God did not provide for them. The provision was there. The culture was different. So could it be that even today, God has planted you in a culture that rubs you the wrong way? That is not the perfect culture. In fact, you probably would want to check out and go somewhere else, maybe in a different country. But if you really check things out and you look into things that are happening right all around the world, probably everywhere is just as bad, if not worse. So be content in the place where God has planted you. You know, I hear this a lot on the news. You know, people, you know, they talk bad about the United States of America and all of this stuff. There are many other countries. You can spin the globe and you can take a pick where you want to land. But where you want to land might not be the place where God has called you. Where God, I want you to be planted. So the key is to be content and have this spirit of contentment in the place where God has planted you. It's a spiritual place. Spiritual place. The opposite of contentment is contention. When you're not content, You're in a state of contention. So when you're not happy in the place where God has called you, you know who you're in contention against? Think about this for a moment. You're in contention against God Himself. So when things are not going right, that's the first thing you got to check. Am I in a place of contentment, or am I in a place of contention? Basically, God is saying, you decide where you want to live. Choose life, choose death. So, how many of you have heard this scripture? I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. That's a pretty popular scripture. Everybody's heard about this. The first time it was mentioned is in Joshua 1:5, where God is having a conversation with Joshua. And God said this in Joshua 1:5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And then he goes on and gives the promise that we know that is quoted in many parts of the Bible after Joshua 1:9. It says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, here's what I believe God was telling Joshua. Joshua, you don't need to covet. You don't need to covet the relationship that Moses had with me. Because I want you to remember this. Moses is gone. He's the new general. He's the one who's taking charge after the big man, Moses, is gone. Can you imagine the pressure on this young guy? So God is addressing him for the very first time. He's saying, Joshua, here's the word. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I believe behind the scene God was saying, Joshua, you don't need to covet the relationship that I had with Moses. Joshua, you don't need to covet the position that Moses had with the people. You don't need that. All you need is just to be you. If Moses had an Instagram account, I was thinking about this when I wrote this down. I'm sure his post would have read something like this. Had an amazing time with God. The great I am. Came out of the tent glowing. Post, picture. Now, Joshua might have read this while he was cleaning Moses' sandals and thought to himself, I will never be good enough. I will never be able to be as good as Moses. How many times do we do this? How many times do we do this when we look at social media and we compare? We look at a cute post from someone and we're like, how come it's not me? How come they just bought that? Lord, I've been serving you, I've been cleaning sandals all my life, and now he's glowing and I'm not. You know, Or you come home, I mean, you know, you see a Facebook page, post. Oh, my husband took me out for dinner last night. You know, and big picture out there. And you come home and you see your husband sitting on the couch, big box of donuts. You know what I mean? And you start comparing. I mean, this is the world that we are living in, where this comparison has taken its toll on anything that will create that spirit of contentment. We can't help it. It's right there in front of our eyeballs every time you turn this thing on, and that's the very first thing you see. So maybe in the concept of civilization, God was trying to tell us something here. 2020, 2021 is going to be here. And you guys are going to need to lose this. You guys are going to need to switch that thing off. And don't be driven, consumed by this. How many kids have made poor choices because they look at somebody's post, a friend's post, on how amazing they look, and they feel inadequate in themselves? How many lives have been ended prematurely because of bullying and many other things that this device, this social media has created? I love technology. I love social media. Don't get me wrong. We use this a lot. For our church, we use this personal life and everything else. But God is saying, when you are in a place of contentment, that spiritual place where you know that God has placed you there, none of the above would affect you. Somebody's post out there, oh, you can rejoice because you know that you belong where God has planted you. And you're not going to be moved by somebody's post because you're secure. You know who you are and you know whose you are. I believe somewhere in that conversation with between God and Joshua, there was a pause. And God asked him this question, Joshua, are you content with just being you? Are you content with just being you? Because if you're content with just being you, just as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Then comes the promise, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. The writer of the book of Hebrews used that same passage, but he made a remarkable connection, which I've read this many times before. It didn't click until I put the two together, Joshua 1:5 and then Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Right? That's what we've learned the whole time. Let your conduct without the spirit of desiring something that does not belong to you. But here's that other part. Here's the connection that maybe you've never seen it before, but the connection was there the whole time. And I certainly did not see it until I was preparing the message. Be content. Be content with such things as you have. And then there's the connection there. For he himself said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So the promise was there the whole time. All we had to do is to be content. Content in the place where God has planted us. It's a spiritual place. When you're in that place of contentment, you are comfortable in who you are. You are satisfied with all that God has provided. You know that all that you have belongs to Him. He's the one who provided everything for you. And lastly, I'm going to press really hard on that one to finish. The principle of delight. The principle of delight. In Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Many might have read this and understood it that way. Love God, serve God, and He will give you everything that you desire. Would that be right? Love God, serve God, and He will give you everything that you desire. That's not the intent of that scripture. God is not a genie in a bottle. He's not like you're going to rub Him like, you know, we're going to rub the bottle like three times and then pops. And then He's like, what do you desire? God is not that. The word delight is critically dependent upon one thing. Authority. How so? It's dealing with who is sitting on the throne of your life. Who's sitting on the throne of your life? When God is in charge, He will give you the right desires. The right desires, His desires, the desires that would line up with His word, the desires that would line up with His timing. The right time. The right kind of desires. not those that are driven by selfish ambition or motives. Those desires that are coming directly from Him, where His timing on releasing that blessing is impeccable. The right time for something to be released in your life. Because His name is Jehovah Jireh, the God that sees ahead and makes provision. Before you go to Fairbanks, God has already gone ahead of you. He's already made provision for you. He's already opened doors for you that you don't even know are there. That's how amazing He is. All He wants is to occupy that throne of your life. That's where the delight is. It's not just loving God and serving God, because we can do that and still not have Him as King. Because we serve a King, and the King needs a throne, and it's right here. Would you please stand? My prayer is that you would see the Ten Commandments not just as this Sunday school message, or, you know, whatever you did back in Sunday school. I didn't grow up Christian, so I don't even know what Sunday school would look like. Now I know because of my kids. But whatever you remember of your Sunday school, I hope you get something a little bit different. Maybe a little bit deeper. A deeper understanding of the Ten Commandments. Not just a list of don'ts and thou shalt nots, but principles that God wants you and me to apply in our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for those who are here. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for You. You've been an amazing teacher. The best teacher. Lord, that in the days ahead of us, Lord God, that those words that we've absorbed, that we've received, will come to life in a practical way. Wherever You've called us, in whatever sphere of influence that You've called us, in the workplace, at church, at Walmart or Safeway or whenever we're traveling, Lord God. Lord, we thank You for those divine appointments. Send someone on our path that we can share Your love to. That we can be a witness of Your goodness, Your faithfulness, Your mercy and Your grace. Help us win someone to the Lord this week. Help us reach out to this lost friend, this estranged family member. Help us reconnect with the body of Christ. Help us walk in Your authority. Lord, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for coming.